It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
From Black Powder headquarters high in the mountains of North Georgia, O'Neill Outside presents Real Tree Radio. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. Yes, indeed, we're talking outdoors for the next couple of hours. Isn't it refreshing to kind of sit politics aside for a couple of hours about deer hunting, fishing, and spending some time with your family? Let me give you the telephone number should you want to join us in the program this morning, 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, 800-972-8255. You can listen. It's AM 750 WSB and 95.5, and on the SB Nation, the Sports Broadcast Nation, from Houston and Dallas and Sacramento, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Columbus, St. Louis, and all over the country. Excuse me. And this radio program is brought to you by, every Saturday morning, Hayes Auto Dealership, CVA, Realtree, Striplings, QDMA, Tough Shed, Pennington Seeds, Zach Brown, Southern Grind Knives, Thoroughgood Boots, the Governor's Gun Club, Horsetown, Cherokee County Toyota, and Snellville Heating and Air. And we've got a lot of calls here coming in, and we want to handle every single one of them. But it's my pleasure to invite you to watch O'Neill Outside Television, Fox Sports South, Fox Southeast, Fox Florida, Fox Arizona, The Pursuit Channel, Hunt Channel, and on and on and on. It's exhausting. It's on almost every day. We have a lot of things to talk about this morning. It's deer season. The rut is on, and it still will be for quite a few weeks. Fishing is outstanding if you can stand the stiff breeze this morning. Water temperatures are just right for you to bag crappie, even largemouth, stripers, and some great saltwater species also. It's 30 seconds after 8 o'clock in the morning, 5:08 here on the East Coast. And set yourself up to call this morning, and we will answer your questions, observe your observances. How about that for a quote? And we'll be back right after this. In the early morning. Okay, 12 minutes after the hour. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. We're talking hunting and fishing for the next balance of this hour. Let's see now. The first thing I want to tell you is, before we get to these important calls, is you can watch O'Neill Outside at O'NeillOutside.com, or you can watch all the shows on YouTube, and you can catch up, and it's always available to you. Right now, let's talk to Mac. He's calling on line 3. Good morning, Mac. What do you say? How's it going to be today?
Oh, man, it's going to be, well, for one, better get that sweater out. We got a real touch of fall today now.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've had a couple brushes with it, but it's here now. So get the coveralls on for sure.
That's a fact.
I think, now I hate to be a pessimist, but I think you're going to work harder for your fish today. It's a pretty big cold front, a lot of change. Mm-hmm. I think it'll make them sluggish, so. A typical cold front scenario. They're going to see the sun. They haven't seen that in a couple of days, so I expect the bite to be a little bit off. So be prepared.
Expect so. You're going to have to work hard for it today.
I think that'll be the case. And if you're going striper fishing today, the one thing I want to caution everybody about is we just came off a period of, you know, a lot of cloud cover and weather that's conducive to fishing, cold front approaching and all that, and then we had the scenario we just talked about. The other thing, we're seeing some schooling fish, and I think that makes everybody want to fish shallow. If you're not seeing them schooling, most of the fish that were caught on Lanier anyway were really deep this week, 60, 70 feet. But when you see, and that the water temperatures are such and the oxygen levels are such, you have fish all over the water column. So just because you see some shallow, see some schooling, don't rule out that you got to fish shallow. I would look for fish to be in deep water, particularly with today's weather conditions. So a downline in deep water should do the trick. You may or may not see the schools with this weather situation. Just don't let that throw you off if you do see them.
Good. And that's an excellent recommendation to not be tricked by a school or two that you see.
They do, because what they're doing, they're coming out of deep water. They're pushing bait fish up to the top. They eat a few, and then they go back down. So just because they can, the water's cool enough and the oxygen levels are high enough, that they can be in shallow water, that means you're going to stay there. There's a lot of deep bait. You'll see a lot of deep bait on your graph, too, and that's, remember that. The same, when you see schooling fish on top, they're really doing the same thing the fish down deep are doing. You just can't see it, at least with your eyes. You've got to see it with your sonar.
Yes.
So they're down in that deep water beating up on that bait. We just don't get to watch it. And I would concentrate on that. And I think bass fishing to some degree will be the same extent. The shallow fish might be a little shell shock. The fish, and we've got a lot of bass now in 35 to 40 feet. And I think anytime those deep fish are available, they are less susceptible to weather change like we had before. When the water's the same down there, it doesn't change. The water on the surface may cool off a little bit, and I think the fish in shallow water feel that a little more, feel the pressure changes. I would concentrate on slower baits, deeper fishing, you know, jigs and worms, maybe as opposed to moving baits, that type of thing.
I was approached in a store this week, and the guy said, "Where should I fish this week?" I said, "Deep."
Well, we've always described it. We fish deep all the time anyway. I know you think that way, especially on lakes like Lanier, Clearwater lakes with a lot of spotted bass. But, yeah, I think that'll be more the case now. And when we're talking deep on Lanier, I want to clarify that. A lot of fishing 40 feet. You know, you talk to the guy coming up from Okeechobee, deep's 10 feet, right?
And sure it
deep
is.
Deep here is not 10 feet. Deep here is 30, 40, 50. So.
Really deep. Well, that's an excellent Ram fishing report, Mac. And are you going out today?
I am not. My guy's canceled, so I think I'm going to get called up in the office and get ready for a little Georgia football weekend here.
Oh, that's right. Yes, indeed. Yeah, well, I'm glad you called, Mac. I appreciate you getting up early to pass that along to us. It was certainly worthwhile. An excellent Ram fishing report, and everybody learned something.
Thank you, O'Neill. Everybody be safe. Have fun out there. Catch some fish. Enjoy your time on the water. And you can see the Ram report, Hayes Ram fishing report in full online every week. And we'll talk to you next weekend.
Mighty fine, Mac. Good luck to you, pal. I'll see you soon. There you go. Let's see what to tell you about. You can visit O'NeillOutside.com, the Zach Brown Southern Grind Guestbook. And if we use your question on the television show, Zach Brown will send to you a Jackal Black and Tan, a knife that you'll keep always. Let's see, 404-872-0750-800, 972-8255, 17 after the hour. Let's talk to Matt. He's calling from Zebulon, Georgia. Good morning, Matt. What do you say?
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Lovely.
Me and my son are heading to the woods, and we got a question for you, and it's in regards to the wind. How do the deer react to the wind? Do they bed down more during the wind, and during the rut, does it even matter?
It doesn't. That guy's staying up 24 hours a day, and if he has a doe with him, he will remain with her in that same spot no matter what the wind conditions are. You have to remember that the whitetail rut is different. When he locates and secures a doe that's in estrus, he will stay with her for 24 to 36 hours. And he's hard to even move around, even if he smells you. So don't let this wind spook you.
Do these doe like to bed down there in the wind, or are they up and moving as well?
Well, they're up and moving around, too, because they're getting pushed by the bucks. And remember, the doe is not a victim of the rut. The doe will, when she goes into estrus, she will seek out a buck. So she remains active also. A lot of times we focus on the bucks only, but believe me, during the rut, the does are active also.
Awesome, O'Neill. Yes, very much so is. I appreciate you answering our question, and I think we're good for today, this morning.
Well, good. I wish you success And even if you don't pull the trigger, it'll be a wonderful day spent with your son.
Yes, sir, it is. You're exactly right.
You betcha. After all, when you pull the trigger, the hunt's over.
That's exactly right.
Good luck to you, pal. Now, you owe me a call back next week. Let me know how you did.
Yes, sir, will do.
Mighty fine. Good luck to you. There you go. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Don't have time for a call, but I will answer from the O'Neill Outside website a question from the Zach Brown guest book. He says he loves the show. This is Robert Rasnick from Richland, North Carolina. He says it's not, the television show is not big bucks all the time. It's unrealistic to get a big buck every time. He appreciates the shows when we don't get a buck. It's not hooting and hollering about the big bucks all the time. And he concludes with a question, and I'll get to it right here. And he says, what's your number one tip for hunting public land? My tips for hunting public land are the following. Hunt late into the season. Most public land hunters have already quit. Number two, hunt deep into the woods, not 100 yards from where you park the truck. And number three, hunt during the week if you can, because that is when most hunters are at work, and you can round up a nice whitetail by hunting during the week for public land. The silent hero for November the 10th, Medford, Oregon. November the 10th, Medford, Oregon. Medford firefighters saved four children from an apartment fire, catching a 2.5 and a 9-month-old who were tossed by their father from the second-story balcony into the waiting arms of the firefighters below. Then they rescued two girls, 3 to 5 years old, while went into the building. When the fire alarm started, it rapidly went from a 1 to a 3-alarm fire. They cooled off the doorway, and the firefighters, after catching the 2.5 and the 9-month-old, then the firefighters heard a woman screaming from upstairs. They entered the building and they rescued two because when they went into a bedroom, it was totally dark. They could not see at all. They pulled one child from a closet and one child from under a bed, feeling their way through the complete blackness. They carried both girls out of the burning building, and one firefighter started the CPR on the 5-year-old, and these silent heroes that day saved four children from certain death from the fire in Medford, Oregon. Those are silent heroes, and you never hardly ever hear about them. Look them up on the internet. It's 26 after the hour. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. I learned something this last weekend or the weekend before. I got to go hunting in down in South Georgia, and one of the guests on the hunting trip was Brian Murphy, the chief executive officer of the Quality Deer Management Association. And we and everybody on the hunt had some quality time with a scientist. Brian is a deer hunter, but he is also a scientist. And the following I thought was interesting, and that's this. Knowing that the whitetail buck spends as much as 24 to 36 hours with any doe that's willing to accept him during this bedding process, what it boils down to is that every mature buck will only replace himself. In other words, he will have one offspring that will live to maturity. Now, see, that's interesting because we automatically think that this herd buck is going to be constantly breeding does like mad over the period of the rut. So if you have a rut that lasts, and you only have one, and it only lasts about 7 days, then that means that he or she gets to breed about 2 times. Now, for those fawns to be born, to grow to maturity, it is finally determined that the buck replaces himself only. And when you think about it, that's humankind also. How about that? Now, I forgot to tell you last week, you can still go to Cherokee County Toyota and Horsetown stores. Big sale going on now at the Horsetown Locust Grove location, both today and tomorrow. If you want boots, go to the Horsetown store in Locust Grove. But you can go to Cherokee County Toyota or Horsetown, and I have some signed O'Neill Outside caps there. You don't have to buy anything. Just walk in and say, I'd like to have the hat that O'Neill mentioned on radio. And when you do, they'll just give it to you. It's a pretty good idea. Right now, let's talk to Richard if we can. Richard is calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. You know,
good morning, Richard. What can I do for you this morning? What do you have on your mind?
Well, I got a couple of things. One, I'd like to find out. I think I'll go to the library to find out how Horsetown and Snellville got their names, because they are unusual. That is unusual names, and I just think I'll go to the library and find out how they got them. And
I will tell you. Well, let me tell you this. Let me react to that before your second question. It's quite amazing. There are three Horsetown stores in Georgia: Marietta, Georgia, and Locust Grove, Georgia, and Snellville, Georgia. And those three stores make up the largest Western wear retail stores east of the Mississippi River. So this is not just a mom and pop. This is big time. All right, what's your other question?
Yeah, but I'd still like to find out how those names came about. Horsetown.
Oh, sure. Well, it's a Western store. Uh-huh.
Okay, my question is, I hear there's a show that comes on after you. It's called Bassmasters Radio. And
yes,
they talk about fishing, and a lot of times they'll have guests on there. Well, they have a Bassmasters Club they talk about, or Bassmasters, but they talk about the Elite Series. A lot of people are fishing in the Elite Series. Are there a lot of different series that you can have that people can fish in, that if they come in second or third on a weekly basis, that they can actually make a living out of fishing?
It's a secondary cause or secondary opportunity for a living. You will not make a living out of your winnings if you're on the what's called Major League Fishing, Bassmaster, Forest Ale Wood, all of it. You will not make a living out of your winnings. You will make a fine living out of your sponsorships. But you have to be a successful fisherman to get those sponsorships. Believe me, you'll starve to death on your winnings from tournaments.
Okay, so it's sponsorships of how if they win, they get sponsors. That's how they can make a living at it.
That is correct. Win or finish high in the
point
standings.
Very few can do that, right?
Well, there's a lot of guys that are able to do that now, but I would say it's much, much more difficult than it would appear. For instance, here's a great example. I'm going to guess here and say there are 300 to 500 fishing and hunting shows on television. They make their money out of sponsorships. That's all. And those sponsorships are increasingly difficult to come by. That's why you are listening to O'Neill in addition to be able to watch him and Travis Johnson on television. Television is fading.
I've never watched it, but it is kind of interesting to know with O'Neill. Are you, I hear you talk about your number one fishing and hunting show. I think that's what's in the world. But you just wonder how much competition do you actually have on the radio? Because I don't watch TV. I just listen to radio. I just wonder how much competition do you have as far as fishing shows goes on the radio? If you ever check on
okay,
that.
Well, let me respond to that by telling you that it's my statement is highly qualified. It is the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. Most of all of the other shows, 99.9% of all the other outdoor shows that you might hear on radio are recorded, like the one that follows this show, that being Bassmaster Radio. That is a recorded interview show. They don't take calls.
So you're talking live. That's the key. Live.
That is correct. Live show. This is the live show, and everything else is basically recorded. There is a show that emanates from the New Orleans area, and it's called The Great Outdoor Show, and it's hosted by a fellow by the name of Don Dubuque, and it's an outstanding show, and it is live, but it doesn't cover the territory or has as many in the audience as this show does. At any given time on WSB, AM and FM, and the Sports Broadcast Network, there's over 1 million people that are listening to this show.
All right, thanks for having the show, O'Neill, your live show. Thanks. Bye.
Good deal. Thank you for calling, sir. It's always a pleasure. There we go. Let's see if I've got time for this. I certainly do. And let's talk, and I can barely see it. Let's talk to Chris, calling from Cartersville, Georgia. Good morning, Chris. It's O'Neill.
Good morning. How are you doing, my friend?
Lovely.
I've watched hunting shows on TV, and I know they blow a lot of stuff up, but they said putting corn out will make your deer go nocturnal.
Has
so
nothing
I'm
to
wondering,
do with it.
It doesn't?
No, not at all.
Well, I was baiting on corn in them or an attractant.
Why not use both if you can?
Do you recommend an attractant?
I do, absolutely. Well, I recommend an attractant as much as anything to help cover your own scent.
Right. So but I'm talking about like the persimmon, the shakeout stuff, or?
Absolutely. It's kind of like, Chris, it's kind of like, why not? Okay. If you have it available, you believe in it, it gives you confidence, why not use it? Use everything that you can. But more than anything else, pay attention and wash your clothes and cloak. And
right. Make
sure that it's not your scent that drives them away instead of the attractant that is attracting them. It's a food source, but the food source doesn't have anything to do with your success during the rut. I got to go, pal. Listen, I'm glad you called. Call more
thanks,
often.
Sir.
I'd love to chat with you.
Thanks.
Thanks, pal. Thanks, Chris. I got to go for a second. This is O'Neill, and it's the Medal of Honor when we return.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Medal of Honor, Thomas Bennett, Army, Vietnam, February 1969. The Company D became under intense small arms automatic weapons, mortar, and rocket fire from a well-fortified enemy position. Three of the point members of the platoon fell wounded. Corporal Bennett, with complete disregard for his safety, ran through the heavy fire to his fallen comrades, first with first aid, and then made repeated trips carrying the wounded men to positions of relative safety from which they would be medically evacuated. The corporal repeatedly braved the intense enemy fire, moving across open areas to give aid and comfort. He valiantly exposed himself to the heavy fire in order to retrieve the bodies of the personnel. Five members of the company had already fallen wounded in the initial assault. Corporal Bennett ran to their aid without regard for the heavy fire. He treated one wounded comrade and began running toward another, seriously wounded man. Although the wounded man was located forward of the company, Corporal Bennett was warned it would be impossible for him to reach the position. He jumped forward with complete disregard for his safety to save his Army buddy's life. And as he did, he fell wounded, and he died on the scene. Yes, indeed. Corporal Bennett, Medal of Honor recipient, Vietnam, 1969. It's 41 minutes after the hour, and I would recommend, it's awfully interesting, you visit O'NeillOutside.com, and on the home page, you will see a small medallion which will link you to the Medal of Honor descriptions. They're all there, and they are all inspiring. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. This is O'Neill every Saturday morning on WSB and the Sports Broadcast Radio Network nationally with Outdoor Conversations. Isn't this a bit of a relief than from the 24-hour political assault that we undergo from CNN and Fox and all of the radio stations that we, quite frankly, are all addicted to? Save a couple of hours. Save the weekend from all of that and spend it with your family. Okay? Now, earlier in the program, we asked about how many people had traveled long distances. We had a fellow from Minnesota that said he traveled over 2,000 miles to Alaska for a fishing trip, and I'm sure a lot of you have. Travis right now is in Texas, and he will go to Wyoming, and he will go to Colorado. He's been to Colorado for an elk hunt on public land, and he was fortunate enough. He and Dakota Russell harvested 2 5-by-5 mature elk bulls. And you can visit O'Neill Outside Facebook page, and you can see the photos of them. It's quite an operation, I would imagine, having to quarter and haul out 2 8 to 1,000 pound bulls. They do it on horseback. It's quite an operation. It won't be this guy who does that. Those days are gone by, I'm afraid, to be able to walk into an area. I think they kill those two elk at about 9,000 feet. And I can tell you, if you hadn't tried that before, a bit of a warning, there's plenty of air at those altitudes in Wyoming and Colorado and those Rocky Mountain states. Plenty of air. But it's awfully thin, and you have to work at it. You have to acclimate to it. I know several years ago, I had the pleasure of fishing at a place called Missouri Lakes, glacier-filled lakes in Colorado, and they were at 12,000 feet. And I can tell you, I went from Atlanta to Denver, to Vail, and walked into the lakes all the same day. And it was regrettable because it was an altitude headache that was unmatched before or since. So you need to acclimate yourself before you hunt or fish in those kind of elevations. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. As always, I recommend to you that you be a member of conservation, volunteer conservation organizations. There's so much to learn. And recently I was at a hunt camp, and it was amazing, really, and it's fun. But it was amazing, really, and I'll call it hunt camp gossip. judgments about deer hunting and even fishing that are completely, at best, exaggerations or completely untrue about deer hunting. If you belong to a good organization that passes along great information, you'll be a better deer hunter. Almost 47 after the hour. We've got more to talk about here at O'Neill Outside, and I would invite your calls at 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. That's a few things I wanted to go over if I can locate them. Oh, at the Zach Brown guest book, let me direct that to you. In January, we will be giving away a knife every week. Currently, if you go to the Zach Brown guest book at O'NeillOutside.com, you can, we choose your question, your observation, your request about the show, the television show, the radio program. And if we choose that and we air that on the television show, then Zach Brown will send you one of the Zach Brown Southern Grind knives. And you can get that at O'NeillOutside.com. And one of the things I want to impress upon you, if I can, is as a hunter and as a fisherman, I do this often on the show, and you bear with me for a moment. It's important for you to be able to defend the fact that you're a hunter and a fisherman. 60 million men and women over 16 years old if will respond to the question, are you a fisherman? 60 million people will say, yes, I am. 12 million will say, will respond, are you a hunter? Only 12 million will say yes. And some people have a misguided opinion about hunters. Believe me, arm yourself, become an ambassador to respond to those questions in the workplace or socially. The Wildlife Restoration Act became law in the early 1900s, 1927, 1930, 35, I don't remember. But what that did was we were running out of wildlife. It needed to be managed in the United States. And lawmakers at that time came up with the Wildlife Restoration Act, the Pittman-Robinson Wildlife Restoration Act. And what that did was it taxed sporting goods, fishing, hunting gear, and it became an excise tax because, and that went to the management of wildlife. And you have to know that. You have to defend that from the people who don't understand it. I tell the story often when I'm doing seminars and such that I was at a cocktail party years ago, and it was a very upscale social occasion, and it in a little while it became knowledge in the room that what I did for a living, that I was a hunter. And a young lady came, a middle-aged lady came up to me, and she said, hair was in a bun, little black dress, glass of Chardonnay. And she said, I just, when she introduced herself and said, she was looking for an argument, and she expressed the following opinion. She said, I can't believe how you shoot those beautiful birds. My following answer was incorrect. There's a better answer. My answer was, if you hold the gun upright and swing, you can shoot them too. The proper answer was a description of the Wildlife Restoration Act. Hunters and fishermen, campers and hikers, with the excise tax on the sporting goods, they actually pay their own way. And here's an example. Georgia hunters contribute $1.6 billion in yearly economic impact. Angling creates an economic impact just in Georgia alone of $2.1 billion. Hunters and fishermen pay their own way. And if it were not for hunters and fishermen, wildlife would not be as we know it. For instance, in Georgia alone, prior to the beginning of the hunting season, there are 1.4 million white-tailed deer in the state. About one white-tailed deer for every 10 people that live here. After the season, there's approximately 900 to 1 million deer in Georgia. That's a sustainable population for the habitat. And that's good. And it's because of the excise taxes and the Wildlife Restoration Act. You need to know those things. So if the subject comes up or you are confronted by the fact that you are a hunter, you can properly defend our sport. And that's very, very important. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. On WSB, 750 AM, 95.5 FM, and on the Sports Broadcast Network. Again, before I go out of here in about a minute, I want to ask you to consider going to O'NeillOutside.com, and right there on the home page, you can order O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, a bit of a memoir that I've written, and you can get it, and I will personally dedicate and sign the book to you if you order it over the internet right there. It's whatever your name is, and you just order it there. It's inexpensive, and we have some great reviews, and it's a book about people and places along the way. 65 years in the outdoors. A couple of pretty good stories there. So, got to go to a break now, and when we return, I'll receive a call from my good friend Mike Hayes, and we have a very special subject to discuss when we return, and I'll be back.
News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Mike, this is O'Neill. Buddy boy, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Great morning.
It is a good morning. Hunting and fishing is really happening. Gail is still in bed this morning. She has a bad cold. And if you don't mind, may I ask you a question?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I'm going to take your ad time this morning and get your support in urging families to spend some time together during the holidays. You've always done that, haven't you?
Absolutely the greatest idea. That's a great idea this morning, sir.
We've got holidays coming up in November and throughout December. Children are out of school, so what a great time to take them hunting and fishing, and I want your support with that.
Well, they need to. I was thinking maybe the mall looking for, instead of being at the mall looking for the great deals, they need to be in the woods or at the local parks. The local parks has got all the animals and all. And, well, you remember when you used to find your first bird nest? I mean, that's a thrill of a lifetime for a kid to find a bird nest.
Absolutely. That's something I hadn't thought about. That is correct.
Yeah. And then you got a squirrel out there burying an acorn. So stuff like that is very educational, and the kids will just don't forget it. They remember all that stuff.
It's better than going to the mall, and that was an excellent comparison, sir, and I thank you for that.
Well, I disagree with it, and it's absolutely educational, and they have a lot of fun. Of course, it might be a little cool this morning, but it's still okay.
You bet it is. Mike, I'm glad you called. Have a great Saturday, my friend, and I'll certainly see you next week.
Well, like you always say, take a kid fishing. So...
That's
everybody
exactly
needs
right.
to do that. And happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas to everyone. See you, boss.
You bet. Thanks for calling, Mike. Getting that from you is no surprise. I'll see you soon. 56 after the hour. This is O'Neill. Welcome back, everyone. This is O'Neill. Had a little the conversation. It ran over time there, all right, but it was worthwhile. It's 57 after the hour. This is O'Neill. You've been watching or listening to O'Neill Outside over the last couple of hours, talking about hunting and fishing, camping and hiking with your family instead of political discussions, and I hope you've enjoyed it. You can watch us, of course, every week, also on Facebook at O'Neill Outside Facebook page. And a lot of questions come in on the Facebook page during the morning. Gail, a woman, Williams, that is, usually gets up and manages that page. We haven't done so this morning. She's sleeping in this morning. We've had a very, very full week, and we plan to have some full weeks. O'Neill has a great trip planned, and I hope you have some good ones. I'm going to go to the Alabama River next week and fish in Pickwick Lake close to Wilson Dam. I will tell you that the Tennessee River, as it exits Tennessee and meanders across northern Alabama, finally ending up in the Tom Bigby Waterway, I believe, going all the way to Mobile, is an outdoor paradise and some of the absolute best fishing ever in the Alabama River. And I'm very privileged, that is, to be able to go there next week. I'll be fishing with a guide friend of mine by the name of Brian Barton. And Brian is an outstanding fisherman, which leads me to the following. Excuse me. A fellow stopped me in a store the other day, and he asked me two questions. He said, what are the recommendations you would make for increasing your hunting success and your fishing success, especially on new lakes? Excuse me. Two things. Ready? Number one, for fishing success on new waters, hire a guide. The first trip or two, he will teach you more about the lake than you would ever learn on your own. Number two, to increase your hunting success, put in a food plot. Deer will naturally congregate around the food plot. So, if nothing else, let me leave you with this. You're not a bit surprised. And that is, hey, if you're too busy to go fishing and take a kid along, you're entirely too busy. Evaluate your activities and take a kid fishing. Would you do that? It's a good idea, and I'll see you guys next week.